You know, when you listen to the words that God sends out there for us, you need to understand that those words are sent in many, many different ways. They're sent often with a smile. Oh, many times through a song, through the proclamation of His Word, through the talking of just about problems that are going on within life. God says, I have a word. Now, I have a word that I'm giving you, and that word I want you to take to heart, and you listen to my word, says God. For in that word that I give you, there is your life. I have a responsibility. The greatest responsibility that I have is to each one of you, to every human being that I come face to face with, to everyone who hears us through our worldwide broadcast, local and all. I have a responsibility. But because I have a responsibility to each and every human being, I realize that my first responsibility is to God. My first responsibility and greatest responsibility is to follow the lead that my Savior has called me to follow. I'm responsible for that. Remember telling your kids, now look, you're getting up in age now. I want you to be responsible. Be responsible. Pick up clothes. Be responsible. They're probably like I was at that age. I never saw picking up my socks as a responsibility. I never saw it that important. I knew where they were. They were right there in the floor. If I need to put them on, I could go get them instead of hiding them in a drawer somewhere. We all think differently. But our thought process does not mean that that's the correct way of thinking. Therefore, in order for us as Christians to follow God's direction, you and I must first remember our responsibility to what He's called us to do. I don't know what He called you to do, but I do know this, He called you. And I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, you're doing it. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I don't know what God's called me to do. And I can see it in their smile. I can see it in their demeanor. I see it in their and hear it in their voice. They're already doing it. See, when God gives you a gift, that gift, well, it's just such a blessing when God fills you with this gift. It's going to be like the windows of heaven opening up, and there's so much blessing poured out that you can't handle it. You cannot keep it in. Therefore, it just boils over from you. A smile will do that. You know, just a smile and a wink or a grin to a child that you know they're just about to get into trouble, and you wink at them and they think, well, maybe I better not do it. And then you're chuckling because you just saved them a scolding. I'm responsible for that. You know, as pastor, I feel responsible for every child that's in this church. And I take that responsibility as the most important responsibility I have. And then come you adults. But that child is to be watched after. And I know through Scripture that God has assigned angels to watch after that child. Oh, you got a couple of them too. But listen to me. That child is watched after direct by Jesus. Jesus is the only one who ever put such a charge against people that would ever mess with a child. Be better that they have a rock tied around their neck, drowned to the depth of the ocean, have even offended one of them. Man, I love kids. You want to get close to the Lord? Get around a child. You want to get closer to the Lord? Get around a child that's hurting. Get around a child that you can see is in emotional stress, physical pain. It doesn't matter. And God says, if you will pay attention to what I've given you to be responsible for, I will bless you and your responsibility. I cannot give you the word of God unless God gives it to me, and he will not waste his word. Therefore, I must be responsible enough to present the gospel that Christ gives me, and for me not to attempt to change it just because what God's getting ready to say may hurt somebody's feelings. Do you ever have your feelings hurt? I sort of laugh at that anymore. Because see, the older I get, the more I think, man, I don't know that I have feelings like that. Because see, if I know that I'm doing the right thing, and I know that someone is attacking me for doing the right thing, they're not going to hurt my feelings. Because Jesus is cheering me on. And I like that. You and I must accept our responsibility and apply that responsibility to everyday living. That's being a responsible Christian. And as a Christian, each one of us have a responsibility. You're responsible to love me. How many years have I said this? You don't have to like me, but you're ordered by God to love me. So suck it up and love me. Love one another with that holy love. That's our responsibility. Overlook one another's faults. Help one another as we're trying to dig out of the ditch of life. Again. You know, I'm down here again. The Lord knows where to find you, doesn't he? Just like I knew where to find my socks. As long as somebody didn't pick them up and stick them somewhere. The Lord sees us where we are. And he shows us that being responsible is a part of being a part of us. So therefore, he's responsibly inside of us. I got to be responsible through a willing heart. A willing heart. I must be willing in my heart to preach the gospel. Not saying all I got to because God has called me and making me preach. No, he doesn't. He called me, yes. And he given me the opportunity, yes. And he says, this is your responsibility. But I can back away from it. But I won't. As long as I have a voice, I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do it willingly. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each man, this is in giving. And when I'm talking about giving, yes, I'm talking about finances. Yes, I'm talking more about yourself. The greatest gift that you can give to a church is you. But you have to be willing to give you. You have to be the individual that says, I'm, through a willing heart, want to give myself to glorify God. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly. Or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look, if it hurts you when you give, whether in your tithe and offering, if it hurts you, your pastor right now tells you, don't give. Please don't give. I got enough trouble. Don't give. But when you give because of that heart of love, folks, you got more of a blessing, and I'm talking about giving all of you, giving yourself. giving yourself as being present, giving yourself as being there when someone is hurting. You do not have to know what to say when you go to a friend that is hurting. All you need to do is go to a friend that is hurting. And do it willingly. That's giving from a willing heart. Next, I want you to be able to be responsible through sacrificial love. Now, what does that mean, sacrificial love? I love my family. You all, my church body, you're my extended family. You're not so extended for me, because you're about all I got, except for Jason, Hunter, Faye, it's Kelly, and of course Judy, my sister-in-law. I love my sister-in-laws. But you see, my family biologically is not connected with me. It's so interesting when we look at one another and know that God put us together to be a family. Through a willing heart, we are family to unite together through sacrificial love. As much as I love them, if anyone ever attempted to pull me away from preaching the gospel, I would turn my back on the ones I love first. Why? Because if I will not stand strong through sacrificial love, to love them so much that I know that if I backed away from preaching the gospel just to feel better about it or something, if I did this, then I would remove that hand of protection that's around them. You can't serve in the prison system and the hostage negotiator and crisis intervention chaplain for the state for all of those years and think that you're in control of protecting your family. I knew I was never in control. But I also know this, they were always protected. Because God says, you do what I've called you to do, I'll take care of everything else. He does that. But that's my responsibility. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I live on mercy, Brother Randy. We like mercy and grace, don't we? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God said, show up for me. All I have to do is present my body here. Lord, I'm really not prepared for this. I didn't tell you to prepare, Larry. I said to present yourself and willingly, and I'll take care of the rest. That doesn't mean either he doesn't tell me to study and he doesn't tell me to seek and to pray. It means that when I get in a situation and all of a sudden somebody says, Larry, but, and I've done this, walk into a church and the pastor walked straight up to me and said, Larry, how about you preaching this morning? I've never said no. I've always said yes. And I've always, as soon as they would ask me, have that feeling coming and everything in my mind had just gone blank. Man, I have a sinking feeling. Preach this morning. Oh, yeah, Lord, we got this, don't we? And the Lord has that. Also, you're going to wake up tomorrow and go to on a job. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be around different people. God has it already covered for you. With a willing heart, I am to sacrifice. Maybe my body would feel better laying down somewhere. But how about when you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart for God's service, acceptable to God? You know what he says then? Which is your reasonable service? It's just a reasonable service. Preacher, I ain't going to come unless you come see me. You're going to come because I come and see you? Well, you're probably better off staying home anyway. Just listen. Listen to me, folks. Don't be selfish with who you are. You are who God created you to be. Therefore, you are responsible to allow others to get to meet that beautiful personality of yours. I don't even care if you're a grouch. I told you, I love grouches. That doesn't matter. It's that personality of the love connection that God gives us. That sacrificial love. Next, be responsible through abiding in Christ. Now, if I get to a point, and I had many friends in the ministry that got to this point in their life, and they would see it, and they would, and God would make it appear to them. And then they would go back and say, how was I so foolish? Because they found themselves as being so what's called successful in ministry. And many times in our generation, that has to do with the number of people that you preach to. Well, folks, it was never that way with Jesus. It's never been about the numbers. It's been about that individual. Oh, if I could get that across to people. God takes an individual, and he may send a whole church after that one. Do we not see that lesson taught in Scripture? Would not leave the 99 to just go to the one. It is that one individual that God has put there. If I'm going to preach, I have never in my whole ministry ever backed off of preaching God's word. I don't care if two people or one person shows up. And I've taught a class downstairs on Tuesdays when there was only one elderly lady that wanted that class taught. I taught it, and it was me and her. She had the best snow-baked cookies I believe I ever ate. But every Tuesday, she was faithful to show up, and I was faithful to be there with her. That was God's calling. Don't we understand that? That the one that God sends your way is important to God. And if that one is important to God, is he or she not that important to you? So God says, I want you to abide in my Son. John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. What gets them in trouble? The pastors feel that they're the vine. Don't ever let that happen, I would tell them. Don't ever. You're the branch. And sometime you're going to get snapped off at a little twig. Jesus is the vine. Feed on him. Don't expect him to listen to you. Well, Lord, I don't want to go talk to Randy today. You know, let me go talk to Joey. He's nicer anyway. No, Larry, you got to go talk to Randy. Oh, you see what I mean? The Lord says, I want you to be filled with me. It is Christ that's going to direct you to those different personalities. Don't you get that? Your body, it is a sacrifice for the Lord to go where he sends you. And when you go where God sends you, let me tell you this, I promise you this, upon the authority of God's word, you will be successful through Christ. He is living in you, abiding in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Boy, I've learned that one. You try to get cocky with God. See, watch him. Oh, he'll love you, but he'll set you down in a heartbeat. Isn't that what a mom and dad will do? Son, you scared me to death. You out like that. I didn't know whether you were hurt. I didn't know whether you were in a wreck somewhere. I didn't know what had gone on with you at all. And I was ready to kill you as soon as you got home. And you're loving them to death all the time. Because of that fear. The fear that was in you was a godly fear. It's called love. When you love someone, you fear for them on their behalf and their actions. You're scared to death of actions of the younger people of this generation. I blame a lot of that on my generation for messing so many things up. You stand strong, but you stand in love. You let your children be ready to come to God's house. You let them hear you when you go home. Don't go have the pastor for dinner. I mean talking about everything that he said. You can invite me for dinner, but don't go having the pastor for dinner. Well, did you hear what that preacher said? I just don't believe that. Man, I grew up in a family of listening to that. But all wait for the preacher to come over to the house, my grandparents' house and all. And I'd hear my mom and aunts and all of them waiting for the preacher to get there. And they were saying everything about that preacher. And as soon as the preacher would get there, you would think that the Lord brought him down himself. Well, he even got the first fried chicken leg. When I, you remember that, don't you, Shirley? Yeah. I wanted that late chicken leg, but no, the preacher had to get it. Don't do that. You have that abiding love of Christ in you, and to fight the impulse of that. Where that came from, hopefully it was from the Lord. Number four, the last. Be responsible, Christian, through God's presence. Don't you leave God at home. He never left you. Don't you leave His Word. If you're going to go, you talk to the Lord about your going before you go. You don't know what's around the curve. Lord, how long does it take you to do that, folks? Remember last Sunday I told you and talked to you about talking to God? You get in that vehicle. Lord, I don't know what's waiting for me, but thank you for the day. How long did that take? God's listening. No, I do not have to get out of here in the middle of 31W, stop my truck, turn it sideways, get out and let everybody know I'm getting ready to pray. God, I'm going to need a lot of prayer if I ever try that stuff. You see what I mean? Talk to God. Lord, I don't know what awaits me, but you do. But folks, that works wonders in your life, in the protection. If you need a couple of angels that day, I guarantee you He'll send them. Some of you all might need 5 or 6 extras that day. But just talk to the Lord and let Him know where you stand. That's being a responsible Christian. Lord, there's a chance that I can mess up today. Yeah, there's a big chance you're going to mess up today. Give me direction. He will do that. Now listen to me, Christian. When you have God present with you, He knows you are human and you're going to mess up. He knows that. It's not the problem, the messing up. The problem is when you do not recognize that you're human, He's God. And that you are totally dependent on Him. And He has honored us with the presence of His only begotten Son. He's given us Jesus. And Jesus that He has given us said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'll always be there with you. So don't you think that it's wise to talk to Him before you take the next step? Oh, here will be a good one for us. Talk to Him before you open your mouth and that tongue starts. Because a lot of times, have you noticed, you say, well, I didn't really mean to say that. Where'd it come from? Well, I don't know. It was in there somewhere. Ask God to temper your tongue. Temper your tongue. Lord, I'd appreciate if you'd temper my tongue until I get around somebody like Renee. Then you can just cut me loose so I can cut back. You see what I mean? That's the human nature of us. I'm talking about those hurtful words, those hateful words that can destroy a life. Lord, temper my tongue before I speak. You know what aggravates you sometimes? He does. You know, it's sort of like the idea of, Lord, I want you to forgive them, but I would appreciate it if you'd make them hurt just a little bit before you totally forgive them. And not only that, Lord, can I watch? You see, God says, I am present with you. Therefore, I am to be responsible as to where this body goes and what comes out of this mouth. I need to accept my responsibility through God's presence. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, God says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. A lot of life of dismay us, won't it? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What am I worried about? Did you hear that? Let me read it again. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And you think about leaving him out of your life, his presence. I have a responsibility when I speak to speak what God would call me to speak. I have a responsibility to share his love. Well, will he know it if you don't? Don't you hear the scripture? I am in you. I am with you. All you have to do is call on me. Lord, get me out of this mess. I cannot count the number of times I've said that. I've said that in revival services. I've said that where they'd scare me to death in a revival service. Somebody come down and go completely wild and start shaking and fall on the floor, and preacher comes up to me and says, oh, I just step over, preacher. That's okay. She does that all the time. I thought, really? Now, I believe in people being slain in the spirit. I believe that. I've seen it. I've been around it in churches. But I've also seen it so phony, it's pathetic. So therefore, I do not mock it, but I did step over her. Because I didn't want to be on the other side of her. And through those experiences, I noticed something. God will intervene in those times of problems. You came to church today. First one at this church today was Satan. Just waiting to pounce on you when you walk through the doors. He was present. What protects you? That God that you allow to come out of you. Jesus died for you. He said, I won't leave you or forsake you. So therefore, I am with you. You go and you tell the story. Your story, it's individual. You tell your story, not somebody else's. This is what Jesus has done for me. When you do that, it doesn't get any better for that person that's hearing it.